Do you know that from your position, you can change a situation? Do you also know that you are the master over the created world and that you are meant to rule over everything God has made? Listen carefully to Pastor Segun Obaje as he brings to you with simplicity and clarity the message of the new creation realities in Christ Jesus. Be blessed as you listen.
Father, our hearts are open to receive more. And we thank you for the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. Be exalted, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Please, you may be seated. God bless you. All right. Turn your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 1 and verse 27 very quickly. Luke 1 and verse 27. To a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. Verse 28. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. Verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Verse 30, and the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. What did she find with God? Favor. I can't hear you. What did she find with God? Favor. Thou hast found favor with God. Read on. Verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. We'll read to verse 38. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she had also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Hallelujah. And verse 38. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Glory to God. All right. Now, I want to talk to you very quickly on the high favor of God. The high favor of God. Now, anytime you read the New Testament, the word grace and favor are used interchangeably. All right? In fact, the word grace, charis, all right, is the same word used for favor. But in this case, all right, of high favor, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. That word, highly favored, is one word. That's the first time the word favor is used differently. I mean the root word. Praise God. Now, in this case, the word used is charitu. Charitu here is derived from charis, but it's a little bit different from charis. All right, charis simply means that which is good to behold, beauty, a reflection of something that is happening within, all right, on the outside. That is charis. The outworking of God's goodness, God's power, God's glory on your face, on your life, in your situation. That is called charis. That means anytime you see grace, all right, you may see glory and not know it. Amen? But you cannot see grace and not know it. Because grace is the visible essence of glory. That means when you see grace, there is something back of that grace. And that is the glory of God, the Spirit of God, the power of God, the wisdom of God. Glory to God. Now, so the visible essence of God's glory is called grace. Glory to God. The Bible tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we behold His glory as the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of what? Grace and truth. So how did they behold His glory? They beheld His glory, come on now, by seeing the grace and the truth dimension of that glory. Amen. And that's why every time glory is made manifest, all right, it is called grace. Sometimes glory is just, you know, resident in people and it's just there. It's not made manifest. But anytime glory is made manifest, it is called grace. Come on, say grace. I can't hear you. Say grace. So that word grace is the word used for favor. But in this case, it is different. And if you read through the New Testament, you understand that that word, charitu, is used only thrice in the New Testament. Three times. Amen? The first time we see it is in Luke chapter 1 and verse 28. Luke 1, 28. Thou art highly favored. Highly favored. Charitu. The next time you will see that word used is used in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6. All right. In fact, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 6, in that verse alone, the word is used twice. Praise God. Also making three times. In Luke 1 and verse 28, Ephesians 1 and verse 6. Now it says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He had made. He used the word highly favored us in the beloved. So, had made, charitu, accepted, charitu. Now, what does that mean? It simply means that the word highly favored of God is an expression of the goodness of God bestowed upon us, all right, before the need arises for it. In other words, God is saying that I have done something for you before there's any need coming up for that thing. I have made the provision ready. Glory to God. Now look at what it says. It says, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He had made, carried to us, accepted us. Accepted here means carried to as well, in the beloved. Glory to God. So the word high favor is actually the manifestation of God's goodness to us as preordained by God. As preordained according to the counsel of His will. That's what it means. The word high favor there simply means God working things for us as preordained by God. So three instances here that the word is used. Highly favored, Luke 1 and verse 28, all right, charitu. Ephesians 1 and verse 6, He had made. And then accepted us. That same word is used there. So in essence, that word simply means concluded. Already made acceptance and favor with God. Predetermined, preordained favor with God. Glory to God. That means this kind of manifestation of high favor is not circumstantial. It's not something that happens because something has happened or something is happening. It is something that happened because God had preordained it before the foundation of the world. That's the kind of favor we're talking about here. And what it means is that God Himself, He makes your life graceful, charming, and agreeable. He brings into your life certain forces that activate favor. People smiling on you. People responding to you from the depth of their heart, from the warmth of their heart. That's what it means. That means certain people coming to you at certain times, bringing certain resources and provisions into your life. Glory to God. Just because God had so ordained it before the foundation of the world. So, it is a concluded, already made acceptance that we have in Christ. Glory to God. Amen. That's what it means. For example, in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible tells us, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places." Where? In Christ. I can't hear you. Where? Louder. I can't hear you. Where? So when did he bless us with all spiritual blessings? When? Before the foundation of the earth. Look at the next verse. All right, look at it. Verse 4. We looked at that this yesterday. "According as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world." So that was when he blessed us. Now, high favor can never happen to anyone against God's preordination. It is the favor assigned to those that God had preordained to enjoy it. Now, understand that Mary was not the only virgin that was, naturally speaking now, eligible to be the mother of Jesus Christ. In Israel, in the tribe of Judah, there were many other virgins. True? Come on now. True? All right. But according to preordination, God had chosen her to be the virgin that will carry Jesus Christ in her womb. So, that preordination necessitated the manifestation of God's favor on her life. And this kind of favor is called high favor. It's the favor given to the preordained. The favor given to the preordained. Those that God have ordained to carry certain things. Glory to God. Amen. God chose Abraham. Abraham had two sons, but God chose Isaac. Come on, say Isaac. All right. He says, "In Isaac shall thy seed be called." And then Isaac gave birth to Esau and Jacob. God chose Jacob. And this ordination, it has nothing to do with what you have done right or what you have not done right. It has everything to do with what God has ordained. So let me announce to you, just, you know, go ahead of myself. If you do not know what you have been preordained for, and you have not yet found it, you cannot enjoy high favor. Amen? And God chose Jacob. If you look at the choice of Jacob, all right, he says, "Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated." And now, I'm wondering, how come God chose Jacob and not Esau? And it wasn't because, you know, Esau had gone wrong. The choice was not made, all right, when Esau had, you know, attitude or attitudinal challenges. The choice had been made, all right, when they were, himself and his brother were in the womb of the mother, their mother. There were two nations struggling in a womb. And she went to inquire of the Lord. Praise God. And the Lord said, "There are two nations in you." Amen. And God had already made his choice. Now, doesn't mean that God rejected Esau outrightly. But you see, just as well and as much as you have the right to make your own choice. For example, your wife is your choice. True? True? For those who are married here, you chose your wife. True? So you don't have any right to complain about your wife. Because there were other women there, but you chose her. True? Uh-huh. Now you get to the dealership, the car dealership, and then you get there, you look at the car, this one and this one, Mercedes-Benz, and this other one, Lexus Jeep, and SUV, and this other one, you know, you find maybe a Toyota. And you look and say, "Okay, I want to go for the Lexus." It's your choice. God has given every man the right to make his or her choices. It's your choice. Now, God has the right to make his own choices. What we call preordination is God's choice before time began. That's it. That means God had made his choices before time began. Sometimes you wonder, how come God has chosen someone like this to do this? Why not someone else? All right, what you are doing is you're querying God's right to make his own choices. Preordination is the choice of God. God has chosen you. All right? And that ordination is something that time has nothing to do with. That ordination, circumstances have nothing to do with it. God made his choice before time. Can someone say amen to that? Before time began. So, I want you to understand this in Acts of the Apostles chapter 15. I'd like for us to read verse 18. I want you to see preordination here. It says, known unto God, known. Come on, say known. I can't hear you. Say known. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Now, the word known there, it simply means intimate knowledge of that which has been done. Like you know your wife that you have married. Like you know your children that you have given birth to. Like you know the house, address, where you live. Like you know your boss at work, that is your boss, already your boss. Like you know something that you have intimate knowledge of that thing. That's the word known used there. It simply means an understanding, a perception of a reality that is. A reality that is. That's what it means. So it says, known unto God are all his works. The word works there simply means that which has been done. Not that which is proposed. No. Works there means that which has been done. A construction, a product. Not a proposal. So it says, known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. What does that mean? It simply means that God created his works before time began, finished everything in spirit form, concluded his plan and agenda, and then began creation. At creation, creation was not, okay, what do I do next? No. Creation simply means what is next in line according to the plan. All right? So God went one after the other and one after the other, and everything was finished. And God looked at it and said, yes, this is according to my design. This is according to my plan. The works that had finished, concluded in the realm of the spirit, now I have given physical essence to those works. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. And the Bible tells us clearly in Ephesians chapter 2, if you start the reading from verse 8, speaking of our salvation in Christ, it says, for by grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And then it tells us in verse 10, for we are his workmanship, works created in Christ Jesus unto, come on now, good works which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. Now that part of preordination is the path of high favor. If a man discovers it and you're keen to it, you just cannot escape the high favor of God. There were many, in fact, I read a commentary one time. There were many people, you know, that had read the prophecy in Isaiah chapter 7 as to a virgin conceiving and giving birth to a child. His name shall be called Emmanuel. All right? And I learned that some people had consecrated themselves and they had been fasting. I mean, virgins. Expecting that, you know, God will choose them. But God had one virgin in mind, according to preordination. Now, let me tell you some things. This, you must understand these things. There are things that God has lived within the jurisdiction of man's will. And there are things that are not within the jurisdiction of man's will. They are only in the within the jurisdiction of the will of God. Now, if you don't know those things, you try to trouble yourself to try to become something that is not part of the plan. And you see, that effort is the effort that wastes men. You see, the only thing you can aspire to all right, that will bring you high favor, the goodness of God bestowed upon you in a special way, all right, is to aspire to that which God had already preordained concerning you. If you don't aspire to that, listen very carefully, this motivational speaking that says you can become anything, you can be anything, all right, within God's will for you. If you try to become something outside of God's plan for you, you will struggle all by yourself. There won't be grace for it. So the high favor of God is for those who have discovered God's preordination for them. Can someone say amen to that? God's preordination. Glory to God. Now look at Solomon. Can you imagine? There are children born, and at birth, God loved Solomon. There were many children that have been born, recorded in the scriptures. This person was born, that person was born, and it was not said that the Lord loved that child. But when Solomon was born, in 2 Samuel chapter 12 and verse 24, I want you to understand something. Well, does that mean that God doesn't love other children? That's not what it means. You see, understand some things here. All right, we're coming to, you know, establishing the preordination of God. The part that the will of God plays in our lives. We are not in this life to chart our own course. We're in this life to discover the course that God had charted for us before the foundation of the world. And this is the trouble in the souls of men. All right? There's perception of relevance. There's perception of significance. There's perception of worth. There is a desire and aspiration for greatness. It's in every man. But what are you meant to be great for or great about? Some people don't know. This path of high favor is the path of preordination. 2 Samuel 12 and verse 24. And David comforted Bathsheba his wife, and went in unto her, and lay with her, and she bare a son. And he called his name, come on now, Solomon, and the Lord, come on, talk to me, and the Lord, as a child, the Lord loved him. Now, this was not David's first son, you remember? Amnon was his first son, true? And the Lord loved him. Why Solomon? You see, we're coming to that, the election of grace. Adonijah was there, all right, striving hard to become, you know, king after David. But God rejected him because that was not his place according to God's plan. It was meant for Solomon. Come on, say Solomon. Simple. It's that simple. Does not mean God doesn't have a plan for Adonijah. When you are caught in the web of trying and hard and striving hard to try to become someone else, to try to occupy somebody else's place, to try to do something that you are not supposed to do according to destiny, what it means is that you have been blinded to God's purpose for your life. You need to see what God has ordained for you. That is the path of high favor. Can someone say amen to that? The moment you see it, no matter what it is, and you key into it, listen very carefully, the favor of God, the high favor of God will begin to flow. That is the place of acceptance, intimacy. That is the place where you will see God speaking to you. And let me tell you something, listen very carefully. All right, even Solomon had an encounter with God just twice all his life. God appeared to him twice. Amen. And there were other people there. God didn't appear to them. Now, let me tell you something. If you are not on God's path for your life, God may not appear to you. If God appears to you, it is to beat you out of the path of disobedience into the path that God had preordained for you before the foundation of the world. Praise God. There are things effort can make happen. There are things within the space of diligence. There are things beyond that space. The preordination of God is beyond the space of diligence. It's God's choice. He has chosen it, and that is what he's doing. Praise God. That's God's choice. And that's why sometimes you ask yourself, how come some people, they're just about their own business, and God just appears to them and say, this is what I want you to do for me. For example, Apostle Ayobabalola was a tractor driver, was, you know, driving his tractor, and then the Lord appeared to him. Amen? Then you wonder, what actually makes for divine appearances? Why does God appear to some people and he doesn't appear to some other people? Maybe he's appeared to them and I told them, this is my part for you, and they refused. And they are doing their own thing and say, well, that'll be the last time I'll appear to you. And then there are some other people, he appeared to them once. For Solomon, that was why God rebuked him towards the tail end of his life. He said, is it a small thing? I've appeared to you twice and you're still living like this. What's your problem? Amen. All right. So, Solomon was loved at birth. Jacob was loved at birth. In Romans chapter 9, you'll start reading from verse 11. Look at it. It says, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God according to election might stand, not of works, but of him that what? Calleth. It was said unto her, Rebecca, the elder shall serve the younger. Ah. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Oh. Now, in the defense of God, theodicy, we taught this in School of Global Missions. Amen. How do you discern the will of God? How come God's choices are God's choices? Well, God has chosen something for everyone. That's the point. Amen. The moment there's a revelation. You see, the software that runs your life is not in you. Jeremiah cried out with a loud voice in Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23. He says, oh Lord, I know that the way that he must go is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. And then David capped it up this way. He said, the steps of a good man are what? Ordered by the Lord. Ordered by the Lord. So life is all about discovery. Discovering God's plan for your life. Amen. That's the path of high favor. When God gave me this message and the Lord, you know, began to deal with me on this preordination thing, he said, one of the key reasons for this conference is to shift men into their purpose. Because that's the part of the high favor of God. There is a shift that is happening in this conference. Glory to God. If you are on the wrong path and you are speeding, you are diligent, you're acquiring all the certifications possible, which is important. On the wrong path, God is going to shift you by the mercy of God. Now, let me announce to you, I have received mercy, all right, on behalf of any and everyone that will be attending this conference. I said, Lord, let's do it by mercy. Amen? Let your mercy prevail. God is going to cause men to come back to that preordained path for them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. You believe that? Say a big amen. So God loved Jacob from the womb. Jeremiah was ordained before he was formed in his mother's womb. In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, we see, he says, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. So there was a you before you were formed in your mother's womb. A real you. A real you. He says, before I formed thee in the belly, before you were formed in your mother's womb, he says, I knew you. I knew you. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. So the ordination here is like, look, hey, Jeremiah, wake up to it. You are not just a prophet to Israel. You are not just a prophet to your family. You are a prophet unto the nations. So if you read the book of Jeremiah, you'll see he was prophesying to different nations, not only Israel. Because that was God's preordination for him. Now listen very carefully. If man has enough sense to have a plan for anything that he's about to do, a conference, you want to build a business, you want to build a house, you have enough sense to say, let me think through it first. This is what I'm going to do, this is what I'm going to do, this is how it's going to look like. And then when you are done, you now take that bold step. Step one, step two, there's an action plan. And then you start acting on it one after the other, carrying out your intent. How much more God, the creator of the universe, the only wise God. God had preordained everything, prepared everything before the foundation of the world. And then he says, now I will start. Shegun, Funke, Dele, Abayomi, Muiwa, Amen, Tayo, Laolu. Are you feeling what I'm saying here? Lamide. And you know, and then you see, Lamide didn't show up. So now start looking around and say, okay, God, what do you want to do with my life? So, well, give me some time. I'll think about it. No. No. I have discovered this disparity between a man and another. One man is successful and is doing great. The other man, he's not successful at all. He's not doing great. Why? Is it that God has ordained greatness for just a select few? Or he has ordained greatness for us all? How come there are some people that they just start something, pam, 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 in no time they are up there? Others will mimic them and will work harder than those people, and a lifetime is not enough to achieve the tithe of the achievement. Why? Why? The Lord answered this question, preordination. Preordination. Praise God. Look at Paul. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15. I want you to see something here. Every man who has risen to prominence by the high favor of God, by grace. Amen. They have risen to prominence because they discovered something that God had preordained before the foundation of the world. The way God showed it to me in a vision, he showed me the paths of destiny for different people. And then he showed me the throne, God himself sitting, and then the rivers of God flowing into those paths. So if you jump out of it, the river won't touch you. That means the grace of God is in paths. The grace of God flows in paths. That means if you are in somebody else's path, the grace will touch that person, it won't touch you. Why do men struggle? Why do people live and they are just there and they live to die? Why do people struggle trying to make something happen for themselves and they try hard with everything within them? They use willpower. They engage the principle of diligence. They put hard work to it. And then some of them will add fasting and prayer. Yet, they still enjoy trickles. While others, right there in that path, they are fasting. But they may not fast as much as the other people are doing. Not because fasting and prayer is wrong or is not important. But something is working for them. Amen. Why? They have discovered it. That was what Jacob knew, interacting with his mom. Jacob knew something. Interacting with Rachel, Jacob knew that, look, there's something about me and about the birthright and about the blessing of Abraham, the blessing of Isaac, the blessing of Abraham. And he understood it. Even when it looked like it should go to Esau, being the first child. Amen. At least that came out of the womb first. Because Jacob held onto his heel. You remember? And they came out together. But at least Esau came out first. Praise God. Man. But listen very carefully. I was even asking myself, babies, how come babies will have that much a grip from the womb? A baby will have that much a grip from the womb. Listen very carefully. That grip was so strong, held onto the heel of Esau. And, you know, they're pulling and pulling and he still held on. Now, where did he get his strength from? When he wrestled with the angel. In fact, an angel wrestled with him, Bible reports, but he also wrestled. So it was both ways, but the angel initiated it. Now, it says an angel wrestled with him. How come God sent an angel and said, look, you have to wrestle with this guy? Because according to preordination, this guy must carry the blessing. An individual, Jacob, must become a nation, Israel. And so, there was a wrestling. Praise God. Preordination. In Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, look at it. It says, but when it pleased God, this was Paul. Let's start from verse 13. He says, for ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jewish religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in Jewish religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. But when it pleased God, come on, say, when it pleased God. No, it didn't say when it pleased me, Paul. When it pleased God, who separated me from, come on now, my mother's womb. God separated him from his mother's womb. All right? That's called sanctification. And called me by his grace. Called me by his grace to reveal his son in me. He knew. The moment he discovered it, he knew what God had called him to do. So he stood his ground in that purpose. And then he rose by grace. Praise God. How come there are many scientists and very few scientists that are known? Amen. How come there are many businessmen and very few stand out? Well, some may say, well, some people apply the principle of success. All right. We've been teaching about success in seminars for many years. How many people have stood out successful as those people that have stood out in their different careers? What does that tell us? It tells us there is something that each and every one of us has been ordained for, ordained to do. If you don't discover that thing, that's why some of the challenges of the multi-talented people. You're talented, you can do many things, which is good. But listen, you will be known for one thing. One thing. When we think about late Archbishop Benson Idahosa, what comes to mind? One thing. Praise God. You'll be known for one thing. Just one thing. That purpose is so well defined. Amen. Other things go with that purpose, but there's the chief arrowhead purpose of God that guides the other accessories of God's purpose. Praise God. Man, one thing. Even Jesus Christ, our Lord, was preordained to be the Savior and Redeemer of the world. Peter said that to us in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 20. It was preordained. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. He was preordained, foreordained. Glory to God. Amen. And that's why the Bible says the Lamb of God was slain. All right? In the beginning, before the foundation of the world. Preordination. Now, what is preordination? Preordination simply means God's plan before the world began. God's purpose before the world began. What God had done, what God had concluded before the world began, that is preordination. So what has God concluded concerning your life before you were born? What did God have in mind when he was planting you in your mother's womb? What did God conceive of you before the foundation of the world? That is what your whole life is about. That is what your destiny is about. Amen. That's what it is. And then when I was doing this study and had an encounter with God, and the Lord spoke to me and said, all right, I'm reminding you again, this is why you are still alive. This is why I have preserved your life. And I wrote it here in my book. I just penned it down. Amen. Preordination. Preordination. Glory to God. Now, you know, the challenge with the grace and the law, you know, if you read through the epistles, you see the Apostle Paul trying to bring that understanding of the difference between grace and the law again and again and again. And the challenge was that the people of Israel didn't know what God had preordained. They thought it was the law that God had preordained before the foundation of the world. But God was saying to them, you know, this was just a makeshift thing. I just did the law thing to just act as a schoolmaster, guide you until the seed, the true seed of Abraham, Jesus Christ, is born. Amen? So what has God preordained? Now, that was why God rubbished all the righteousnesses under the law. He says, all our righteousnesses. That's the time the Bible uses plural for righteousness. Righteousnesses. They're just like filthy rag before him. Amen? Why? He rubbished everything because that was not part of the plan. Praise God. Now, if God were to record the activities of your life, what would be in that book? The things that you are doing that he did not preordain, or the things that you are doing that he preordained? Answer for yourself. Many things happened in Bible days. All right? People built houses. People, you know, achieved many great things. But God didn't find it necessary to include all that in the book. He only included in the book the things that he had preordained. All the activities that tallied with God's preordination were added in the book, one after the other. Mentioned. Other things didn't count to God. So the things that are happening in your life right now, how does God see them? What is God's view of those things? Amen? And that's why I tell people, I say, listen very carefully. Don't just be an achiever in that sense. You just achieve. No. Be someone who is doing the will of God. Find his plan. Find his purpose for your life. Because the gospel preached in the world is good news to them, because it's showing possibilities. You can be anything. You can do anything. Whatever you want to do, you can do. Just give yourself to it. You can make it happen. Amen? But the real gospel is, there's a purpose of God for your life. There is something that God has ordained for you. Amen? All right. You know, Pastor Dele said something at the state conference in Cross River, Calabar. He said, every seed of Abraham on the faith lane, what marks you out is a knowledge, the consciousness of what God had preordained for you before the foundation of the world. That's what marks you out. You know it. It's not that you're trying this out, trying that out. Because if God has ordained the land for you in Lekki and you are in Ikeja, and you will not go to Lekki and God is saying go to Lekki, you will not find the land. Because the land is not in Ikeja, it's in Lekki. Amen? If God has preordained that something must happen for you in Ife, all right, and you are in Abuja, you'll be there roaming about trying to make things happen. You will achieve certain things. But you see, that will not be recorded in the book. It will not count. It's not everything that a man does that counts before God. There are things that count before God, and there are things that do not count. What counts before God is his purpose. Abraham is a father of many nations today. Listen very carefully, because God had ordained him so. Can you imagine? Sometimes I look at this ordination thing, and I look at it, I said, oh God, how come Saul of Kish, the first king of Israel, didn't have enough sense to honor God as God? His mistakes were fewer, less grievous compared to David's mistakes. True? Saul didn't kill any woman's husband. True? David was a murderer. He killed the husband of Bathsheba. You remember? But listen very carefully. God gave David, look up please, an understanding. That understanding stood him out amongst men. Now, you know, there was a time Pastor Dele and I were talking, and we were tracing the history of Abraham. You see, the faith story of Abraham didn't start in Genesis 12. It says, the Lord had said to Abraham. You remember? Genesis 12 and verse 1, the Lord had said to him. So, this was not the beginning. The Lord had said. And excuse me, the Lord waited. And waited. until the man ordained responded to his voice. There are times the impatience of God is actually with that which has not been ordained. Amen. And I was wondering, why? Why? Now, excuse me, why did God rapture or catch up Enoch? I mean, Enoch was good to be the father of faith. True? Abba. I mean, a man that walked with God for 300 years. And God says, you are not going to be the Abraham. You are not going to be the one. You come up. I'm catching you up. There's another man. Noah found favor before God. God says, you are not the one. It is Abraham. Even David had to struggle with the ordination of God. Wanted to build God a house. God says, look, listen, you're a man of war and all that. I have ordained in Solomon, the one I loved from birth. That is the man that will build me a house. There are places in life, there are domains in life that the efforts of men don't count. It's only the preordination of God. Amen. Now, God, you know, God raised Pharaoh for a purpose. He just raised him for a purpose. I want to show my power to the nations. And that's why this guy is born. Someone says, well, why? Why? Why did God do that? You can't question him. It's his choice. There are some people that will display to you the hardship, the consequences, the repercussions of disobedience. And God will raise them up and you will see it and you say, I will never again in my life go against the will of God. You know, I was reading about Lucifer and I saw something. I said, hey. Now, how do you balance this? Understand this. We're coming to a place and we close for this session. Go to Romans chapter 9 quickly. Let's read and then we tie it up. Romans chapter 9. We start the reading here from verse 11. It says, for the children, being not yet born, neither having done any good or evil, that the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. Go on. As it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Go on. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? So you may ask that. So why is God? He has ordained something. So why is he complaining? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. For he saith to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. So then, it is not of him that willeth. Oh. So will doesn't count here. Nor of him that runneth. Oh. Effort doesn't count here. But of him that, of God that showeth what? Mercy. It is the choice of his mercy that counts here. For the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. God is speaking. That I might show my power in thee, that my name might be declared throughout all the earth. Wow. Therefore, had he mercy on whom he would have mercy, and whom he will harden, he hardens. Okay? This is a domain where God is God. When we talk about the preordination of God, we're talking about the sovereignty of God. Mm-hmm. Because there's such a thing as the sovereignty of God. Now, don't explain the sovereignty of God away. the sovereignty of God stands. Verse 19, quickly. Read on. Thou would say then unto me, why doth he yet find fault? For who had resisted his will? Nay, but O man, who art thou that thou repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Now that's the challenge we have today in the contemporary age, where we believe that we can become anything, we can do anything you choose to do, just go ahead and do it. All right? And that's the reason for the frustrations in the world today. You don't reply back, what have you chosen me to do? This. Stick to the plan. Shall the thing formed, look at it, say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Go on. Had not the potter power over the clay? Answer. Amen. Of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction? And that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory. Now listen very carefully. This brings us to another place, and this is very important. Every man, look up please, every man that has found himself in Christ, that is born again, has discovered a preordination. You know what that means? That means God preordained. You see, if the gospel has made sense to you and you responded to the gospel, it is that preordination working. Why are we to preach the gospel? All right, we are to preach the gospel everywhere. All right, so that the preordination of God might be revealed. The Bible says it in the Great Commission. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to. Come on, talk to me. Preach the gospel to. And then he gives a condition. And he said unto them, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be. He that believeth not shall be damned. All right. So that means he's told you some people will believe, some people will not believe. Amen. Someone says, well, is it not the will that is involved? Listen very carefully. There is a preordination of God that activates your will. There's a preordination of God that makes people behave in certain ways. Listen very carefully. Before I got born again, I've told my wife this story, and probably maybe I've told you, maybe I've told you that this story before. There was a time in my life before I got born again, I would see visions of preaching the gospel. Hold the mic, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. I was not saved. I knew it. And then I got born again. The vision continued. Praise God. Amen. I said amen. You may think, well, Elimelech went to the land of Moab to, just waste his life away. All right? He made his mistakes, but it's to discover a preordained vessel, Ruth, that God wants to engraft into the lineage of Christ. The preordination of God, the way it works, sometimes your parents will just make up their mind, we are going to Canada. And then they are there in Canada. And they give birth to you in Canada. Look at Obama, for example. The way he rose, you will know that there's something about this guy, there's something about this man that God had preordained before the foundation of the world. And the way he rose, there was no contention. He just rose and rose and rose and rose and rose and became the first black man to be president of the United States of America. Till date. And some other people will say like, well, a black man has done it, I can do it too. All right, and then they will start, a black man too, and they will struggle, struggle, struggle. It will not work. Discover what God has preordained for you. You see, on this path of destiny, there is no imitation. Amen. So if you found yourself in Christ, listen very carefully, the first part of it has been fulfilled. You were preordained unto salvation. Amen? Preordained. So you've come into Christ. And listen very carefully, you have to hold on to it tenaciously. Refuse to let go of your preordination. Can someone say amen to that? Because that is where your high favor lies. That acceptance, that huge, massive demonstration of God's goodness towards you. Open doors. Now let me tell you something. You will need not much prayer to fulfill your destiny on the path of God's preordination for you. Less prayer. Does not mean prayer is not important. You'll pray. But listen, it is very difficult to kick against the pricks. It's difficult. That was what Paul was doing. Now, listen very carefully. He said two things. He was kicking against God's ordained body. The body of Christ had been preordained before the foundation of the world, before God called Abraham. The mystery of the oneness of the Jews and the Gentiles in one new man was God's thing. Before the foundation of the world, it was a mystery, kept a secret before the foundation of the world. And so Paul was persecuting the church, says a difficult thing. The second part of it was talking to him. All right, look at you, that you ought to be an apostle building the church. You are now persecuting it. It's a difficult thing to kick against the pricks. You're going against preordination, Paul. Amen? Find out what God has ordained. My prayer is that this conference is a place of light for you. Amen. Is a place of revelation for you. Amen. Is a place of understanding for you. Amen. And I pray for you, as the Lord lives before whom I stand. Let's be upstanding. I'm done preaching. Whatever you are attempting to do that is as difficult as kicking against the pricks, the Lord will discourage you from doing it. Whatever you are meant to do that you are not doing, the Lord will encourage you and reveal it to you and bring you into that path of destiny for your life. You believe it, say a bigger amen. Amen. Listen, beloved. The time has come that young men should discover God's plan for them and they enter into it early. There's an ordination of God. There's an ordination of God. You were ordained for something before the foundation of the world. Motivation should be towards that thing. Nothing should motivate you to do something else apart from what you've been ordained to do. If you have been ordained to be a prophet unto the nations, you ought not to be a prophet to just one nation. He says nations. Lift up your hands. I think we should pray now. I want you to take time to pray in tongues. And decode and download the mysteries of God. There's an anointing in this place to bring us to revelation. Clarity, 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 clarity. I want you to pray with everything within you. Lord, I refuse to struggle, not after this conference. I want to know that thing in business, in ministry, in career, in family. What have you ordained for me to do? The ordination of God is not circumstantial. The ordination of God is not circumstantial. It can never be. It is not based on a need. It's not based on what is happening or what is not happening. Before the world began, God had preordained your destiny. We're talking about the high favor of God. The high favor of God. That there will be men and women rising up in this company and helping others to rise up in different companies with an understanding, a clear understanding of divine ordination, preordination. Preordination, the high favor of God. Rakapakasata la barada bahashatia. Rekapakasata la manambaradiga de bash. Sekataka barada bakasoto no brabosh. Discover it. Pray with a desire. Lord, I want to see it. Paul will always say, I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. He knew what he had been ordained for. He knew what he had been ordained to do. And I want your heart to be open right now. That you will not struggle. You will not try to be someone else. You will not try to do what God has not called you to do. No, you'll be kicking against the pricks. It's a difficult thing. There are many legs that are bleeding right now because they are trying to kick against the pricks. They're trying to create a path that God had not created for them. They're trying to do things that God had not preordained for them. Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, a revelation of your plan, of your purpose, of your preordination. Lord God, let it come with grace. Let it come with understanding. Let it come with grace. Grace to do. Grace to do. That the eyes of understanding may be enlightened, that we may know the hope of his calling. Pray. 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 The high favor of God is reserved for those who have discovered and they are walking in the path of the destiny that God called out for them. Oh God. Rota kabakasida boroshata la bahaya. Manta kosibra baleko siparata kido koma radigasa. Mande karo sopra kida grada bahaya. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. The blessing of having a free will also comes with the responsibility of having a free will. Jesus knew the will of the Father. But it wasn't palatable at the time that he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he said, Lord, if it's possible, let this cup pass over me. He says, nevertheless. You know, you see, for you to walk according to preordination, there's a place of yielding your will to the will of the Father. You will yield it at times. You say, Lord, no, I'm not going up. Not that you don't have the ability. Jesus could have said, no, I'm not dying anymore. And that would have been the end of it. But he said, nevertheless, no, I'm not going to let my will have its way. He yielded his will to the will of the Father. It was challenging. It was difficult. But he had to do it. I want us to pray. The temptation that will come again and again and again until you see the Lord in glory is a temptation to either feel like, I think I want this one. You know, most of the prophets that we read about today, they were killed. They were stoned to death in Israel. Israel killed their prophets for prophesying. Yes. Many of them, when God called them, you're a prophet. He said, no, please don't. I'm not. He says, you're a prophet. That's your destiny. The call will bring certain persecutions your way. Look at Pastor Tunde Bakare. Alright? Because he's a prophet to the nation. And he will hold his hand, the mic in his hand, and he will speak to Nigeria. He will criticize some people. There was a young man one time that wanted to do it. One of, you know. And he went to his church and was doing that. You know, they sent policemen to carry him. He was arrested. But you see, the man stood there. He had grace for it. But he's been persecuted for it. True? You cannot be a person of destiny and not be persecuted. Your destiny will bring certain persecutions and temptations your way. And then the Lord spoke to me. He said this to me in a vision. And it's for you, sir, Pastor Dilly. For thus saith the Spirit of God, there are men and women that have brought to you to mentor, to raise for me. And it is deliberate, saith the Lord, for it is my walking in you, saith the Spirit of God. But I will have you understand that you will lead them not in the path of their wills, but in the path of my will for them. For I will bring you to understanding. And you will not force them, but you will teach them into it. And they shall see and know that indeed this is what the Lord will have us do, saith the Spirit of the living God. For see, I will bring them not so they can remain rebels. Many of them will come as rebels from different places, saith the Spirit of the Lord. But I will have you speak to them and found them and ground them in the truth of my word until their wills are submitted to my will, saith the Lord. For I will not have you speak to strengthen anything in them that is rebellious, saith the Spirit of the Lord. But I will have you speak to them and destroy by the seed of my word that I have planted in your spirit the root of rebellion, saith the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands and give God praise. Lift your hands and give God praise. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Can we agree together? You may not touch anybody. Can we agree together in faith that you will fulfill your destiny? Can we agree together? Lord, bear record today by your mercy and your grace that that which you have ordained is eternal. Many are the devices of the heart of a man, but the counsel of the Lord that shall stand. And so, Lord, you're still standing by your counsel because you will not change your mind. Therefore, we pray. Because it is your will for us to fulfill our destinies. Let there be a wave of your grace, of your power, of your light towards us to that end. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, shake us to the very root of our lives and make the necessary amendments. Let there be a longing and a desire in our hearts, propelled by your Spirit, towards the fulfillment of your of our God ordained destinies. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Start a fire. Light a passion. Start a desire. Start a longing for that purpose, for that will. Let it be very clear, Lord. Give unto us in abundance the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Enlighten the eyes of our understanding.